do I have to pray a sinner's prayer to be saved? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Light, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. My pastor, Pete Allinson, is in, as he usually does, come in on Fridays. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's good to be here.
We'd love to get your questions. We devote Friday, and I also spend some of Wednesday's broadcast on questions because we get so many of them. You always get an answer from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine, but you got to write them down. Don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number. That's open 24 hours a day, so you can get the booklet free, get the magazine free, become a part of our Key Life Day family free. Make a contribution. I wouldn't turn one down, and but you got to write the questions. Now, send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. All right, Pete, with us in prayer, and then we'll turn to these questions.
All right. Father, we do come to you today in the midst of all that we're doing, and we stop for a minute and turn our hearts, our thoughts to you. And we, Lord, are so grateful that we can never run from your Spirit, that wherever we go, you're there, that you love us and you pursue us and you know us completely from the inside out. And Lord, we bow for just a minute and ask that you would be honored in our hearts and that you would take full place in our hearts. We confess our sins, and we just need to be close. We're grateful for Jesus, who paid for everything that we have ever done and will ever do, and we just want to be close to you right now. We look forward to Sunday as well, being in your presence, or more this weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Whenever we worship, Lord, we pray for your leaders. We pray that you would give them a message to say and the words to get into our heart, and that the Spirit would apply them to us. And that we'd listen. Be with our priests and pastors, pastoral families as they serve together your flock. May our people take care of our leaders, and may our leaders love the sheep. And Lord, we have a lot of questions, and we're going to deal with some of them now, and we just pray that you'd help us to answer them. Be with Key Life in this ministry, and thanks for Steve and the way you've used him and will continue to use him. Just commit our time to you now, so we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pete, this is from Tennessee. Is there a specific way to receive salvation? Then the writer says, does it have to involve the sinner's prayer, or done publicly, or done by walking forward to an altar?
Well, my answer... First of all, I want to say that we would in no way would ever want to undermine any of our Baptists. This is obviously a direct result of what happens in many Baptists or Baptistic
churches. That happens in my church. I'm Presbyterian. I used to occasionally have an altar call or an invitation.
Yeah. So we're not undermining that, but no, I don't think the Bible doesn't give us one way to do it. That's the simple answer.
Moody's comment when somebody said, I don't like your way of doing evangelism. You know what his answer was? You remember?
I remember, but go ahead.
Well, you tell me.
What is it? I don't like your way of not doing evangelism.
Yeah, or I like my way of not of doing it better than your way of not doing it.
Yeah, there you go. That's the point. Yeah. We did a funeral at our church not too long ago, and the Baptist pastor gave the message, and it was so good. I mean, it was so good, so clear, so well done. Oftentimes, it's a very good thing to walk an aisle, to say, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to put this on the line. It's a very good thing to pray a prayer like the sinner's prayer so that you know you've done it.
Yeah.
From a purely theological standpoint, we could say, listen, probably we're converted before we know it.
Yeah. Because if the Holy Spirit's not working, it ain't going to happen.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's sort of, when you talk about methodology, it's sort of like prayer. Do I have to kneel down when I pray?
Yeah.
And a pastor said one time, I fell in a well one time. And the best praying I ever did was standing on my head.
That is true.
And it's kind of that way with evangelism. I sometimes becoming a Christian is saying, help, I'm in need, and turning to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything else after that, however you do it, whatever methodology, it's the recognition of an extreme need, and I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm a sinner. I need something. And there are lots of ways that that reality can be expressed in people's lives.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
Do you think that sometimes responding to an invitation will cause people to think they're Christians when they're not?
Could be. You know, just because you're walking an aisle doesn't mean you're a Christian unless something really went on in your heart. But I don't think it necessarily does that. For some people, it's a very, very good thing. And they're ready and they want to go public. And they should.
Yeah, you need at some point, however you do that.
Yeah, you got to tell somebody.
You got to tell somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
So God doesn't have any secret service.
That's right. Now, the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible.
No.
You know, but Jesus led in a lot of sinner's prayers, I'm sure, if you think about it. But
specific one. Those are helpful methodological ways.
Yeah.
To do what we've been called to do.
Yeah, right.
And we've been called to bear witness, to reap the harvest, to be faithful, and let God deal with the results.
That's right. But don't be critical of somebody if they have a pastor or an evangelist, if they have one major way of doing it,
and
they're comfortable, we shouldn't be critical.
The first time Mr. Graham was in London, I understand, there was an article or column in the newspaper that was very critical of the emotion of seeing Just As I Am. So he stopped. He told him not to sing Just As I Am. Had an invitation. And the next day they were critical because of the sound of feet, of thousands of feet coming down forward from the stadium, was quite manipulative and emotional. And Mr. Graham said, you can't win this thing.
Yeah, that's right.
This is an email, no state. What do you Calvinists believe?
All the right stuff.
That's right. And when Jesus comes back, you'll know that we were right, because he'll be a Calvinist. Boy, there's some mean Calvinists. Do you ever meet a mean Calvinist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, are you kidding?
They speak from China.
I know. And don't systematize anything, because it'll be that way for the next, years.
We're going to do that forever. Basically, a Calvinist would start with God and him only.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Arminians, which would be the other side of that, would start with man, but not man only.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we agree on most things, Bible believers agree on almost all the verities of the faith, the different ways of seeing that. You would imagine that a Calvinist would believe that God is sovereign in salvation. He's sovereign in circumstances. That no circumstance is an accident. That every molecule is under a sovereign God. And the doctrines that would flow from that.
Mm-hmm.
We also believe that man is responsible. And we don't know how to reconcile those, although some Calvinists say they can. So I would start with God's sovereignty when you're talking about Calvinism.
Right.
And then deal with your doctrines that fall from that. If you want to know details, and we refute, that's what my daddy would say, go look it up in the dictionary. I'm not going to do it for you.
Yeah.
go get Burkhoff, and then if you don't like it, if you're in a storm or something, and there's flooding around your house, you can stand on it and you'll stay dry. or go read the Westminster Confession of Faith.
Yeah.
Or some of the modern versions of the Westminster Confession in more contemporary language. And that'll give you more details about what Calvinists believe.
The interesting thing that you said is that Calvinists and non-Calvinists would tend to agree on the same things. Like, an Arminian would say, yeah, I believe in a big God, and I believe that God is the center of everything. But how it actually fleshes out is different.
Yes, it is.
And that's where we tend to get in conflict. But we're brothers and sisters, and we ought to remember that we're not the enemy.
That's why, even though we're not, we've got a lot of enemies, and we're not to each other. C.S. Lewis, when he wrote the book Mere Christianity, chose that title with care.
Mm-hmm.
He said there were things about Christianity that he had convictions about, but they were not in this book.
Mm-hmm.
This is mere Christianity, what Christians share in common. And And we try to do that on this broadcast without hiding our convictions.
Yeah.
We're right, of course. That goes without saying. Good heavens.
And I think on the positive side for a Calvinist, rather than being God's frozen chosen, we really do get freed up.
If you really understand it.
If you become more narrow-minded, you become freer.
Oh, you should. I don't understand why that's not true all the time.
Because not even all the Calvinists agree with us in the right way to understand Calvinism, Steve, and that's why. You know that.
Yeah, well. But if you start with God being sovereign, it means you're not. So dance.
Yeah.
I mean, lighten up.
Yeah.
Go do some fun. I mean, the universe is not dependent on you. That's a relief for me.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was. This is from Tennessee. Oh, no, it's an email. When I first became a Christian, God seemed so real to me. That's changed. I don't feel God's presence. Reading the Bible is boring. My prayers seem to hit the ceiling. No growing, no learning in my walk with the Lord. I do continue to attend church, read my Bible, and pray. Do you have any idea what may be going on? How can I get back in touch with the Lord again?
Oh, that's good. I love the honesty because we all go through this. I mean, during my internship, I remember the senior pastor of that church saying, "You know, I'm going through a dry period right now." And we all do. And sometimes it's due to overwork. Sometimes it's, you know, physical, just emotional. Life happens, and it hurts. And we go through phases and seasons of life, too.
And you know something I believe, and that's why I like this. I still go to church. I still read the Bible. I still pray.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You're going to church and reading the Bible and praying now is 10 times more valuable than it was.
It is, yeah.
When you did it, because this is cool. There's obedience in the dark that pleases God greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And Edmund's comment, don't doubt in the dark what God taught you in the light. It's very good to say.
Yeah, who was that said that?
Well, I always quote Edmund because I feel constrained to be ethical and not say that I said it. But I think it was Edmund who was the president of Wheaton College.
Oh, okay.
Or at least that's where I first heard the quote. Yeah. And somebody had said that said it. But whoever said it, it's still true. First time you quote Edmund, after that you say, as I always said, never doubt in the dark what God has taught you in the light.
Yeah, yeah.
And listen, we're both, he and I, impressed with your question. You are close to the kingdom and a lot closer to him than you think. You keep on trusting. You keep on doing it. And there will be a time when God will say, it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll feel it again for a while. So, another time. Keith, we got to go.
We'll see you.
T-Life is a production of T-Life Network.